everyone. Fred Gleek here with Bill DeWeese again for our weekly wrap-up and roundup of what happened during the week. So, Bill, take us through it. Start with Monday.
Okay. Well, our dollars for the week were just over 4,000. So things weren't as busy as I would have liked. I think it has something to do with going into the holidays here. We stayed fairly busy. Monday, I did some promo work for Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm one of the image voices. Me and another gal do all their imaging for their network. I did some work for UBS, financial forecasting training, and then as well some training for Hitachi on Monday. And that was all for Monday.
Got it.
And then moving on to Tuesday, did some CAD training, did some commercials for, there's a McBride & Sons Builders in St. Louis that I do work for on occasion, and so I did some more commercial work for them. I did a narration for an industrial complex building in Indianapolis, Indianapolis. A training on calculating cost in a distribution business. And then some on-hold work for the company Flextronics.
Got it. You know, I was just thinking that we've talked about this before, but I think it might be interesting. From the fact that you're using FreshBooks, and by the way, one of the things we should do is tell people about the Black Friday
sale. Oh, my goodness. That's right, because that launches Wednesday at noon Eastern time. It's huge. Yep. Over 30 hours of training.
Over 30 hours of training material. Go to VOBlackFridaySale.com, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll put it on the screen there for you. But the thing that I was thinking about with regards to your business is this. Given the fact that you're using FreshBooks, would it be possible for Mallory to generate a report now or anytime, really, giving you the top 10 clients that you've had in terms of revenue over this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. I can get that together for next week.
That would be interesting to take a look at to see, who that is and what those totals are and what those top 10 clients do vis-a-vis the rest of your revenue to show people how important it is to create and nurture these ongoing client relationships, I think.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see the 80-20 rule in play. It would be my guess. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but we'll get that generated.
Yeah, and if the 80-20 rule doesn't hold up, we'll, of course, contact the people there with that.
Exactly. On Wednesday, I did some more training for the Minnesota Safety Radio Communication System. It's integrating all their first responders so that they can communicate in the case of a emergency. Also did some work for a European client on how to speak English grammar lessons. So I'm guessing it was for people who don't speak English as a first language. And then I did work for Pizza Hut. I do on-hold work for Pizza Hut corporate so that when you call into, I think any Pizza Hut in America, I'm the guy, or one of the guys anyhow.
Got it. And that, again, is a job that I would assume is non-union.
Non-union, correct.
Right. And again, in something like that, people a lot of times, at least I do, when I hear about or think about jobs for big national chains like that, I automatically assume that these are union jobs because they're so big. Why wouldn't they, or why do they, or why don't they use union talent for jobs like that?
Well, I think what you'll find is oftentimes the commercial work is union because it's broadcast, and when you're dealing with broadcast, you're dealing with different talent, like people, unionized talent. Not always, but often. But when it comes to corporate, first of all, the as I understand it, union rules do not govern non-broadcast like they do broadcast. So it's a different ballgame. So they have a larger field from which to choose. But what's interesting, Fred, is that now you'll find that even more and more, I see it each year, there's a trend that even within broadcast, which has traditionally been more heavily union when it comes to national work, is beginning to shift more and more on the non-union side.
So then for those people who are curious about this kind of stuff, and that would include me, when do you think, when would you consider joining the union, under what conditions, and why? Give me the sort of reason.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that. And honestly, it's been hard for me to think of a scenario in which it would be that tempting for me to, because best case scenario, let's say for instance, Pizza Hut doesn't use union talent for their commercial work, I don't believe. But let's just say for the sake of argument, they did.
Okay.
And I was contacted by an agency, and they said, you know, Pizza Hut wants to use you for a national campaign. The pay is $100,000. But the caveat there is that you have to be union to do it. Well, I could go union. I could get do the fast, easy work for $100,000, which is great. But in my case, I've built a pretty sizable business, which is non-union. So how much of my work now do I have to give up? As a union talent now. So for me, I'm not willing to trade that off. I don't care if it's a $100,000 job because I make well over that every year. I don't need, you know.
So then the question becomes, now I come to you and I say, Bill, this is a 3-year contract. It's $200,000 a year. Now all of a sudden you've
got my attention. Now you've got my attention. That's
because at that point you've got to be thinking to yourself, okay, $200,000 a year becomes my base, and can I do a sufficient amount of additional union work to up my numbers to where I am now?
And I do a lot of corporate work, which is not governed by union regulation. So I could still keep a lot of my clients that I do have. So I wouldn't be completely cut off from what I already have in place. So given that, plus if it's $200,000 a year for 3 years, that gives me some runway to build my non-union.
Which brings up another good question. And again, many people, I don't know the exact answer to this. I'm sure those who are listening and watching may not as well, which is if you decide to go union, let's say you got this Pizza Hut job we've imagined for you for $200,000 for the next 3 years. Once union, you can't retract and become non-union, correct?
You can allow you can allow that to lapse and you quit paying your dues and you can drop out. So it's not a forever thing. But while you're in the union, you're not supposed to be doing non-union work. Now, I've had a number of people tell me that they do.
Right.
I won't name names here. But some notable folks say that either under another name or just kind of under the table because everybody's got to pay the bills.
Right. So in other words, but if you were to get caught doing that, you would suffer some kind of consequences.
I'm sure, and I don't know what that would be, honestly. I'm sure you get slapped on the wrist pretty hard, but aside from that, I'm not sure.
Right, they wouldn't cut off your tongue or anything.
I would hope not.
Okay. Just checking.
In the old days, maybe that's the way it worked, back in the 1700s, if you were union and such.
Okay, so let's. Where are we? Wednesday now?
Thursday. That was Wednesday. And then Thursday, I did some finance certification training. I did some commercials for some regional Honda dealerships, and I did a little bit of Sam's Club training.
Got it. And when you're doing Sam's Club training, that's internal for their own people, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's training for like their cashiers. Right.
Got it.
And then Friday, I did some training for like plumbers on how to work with copper tubing. I did some more work for the Immaculate Heart Radio Network. I did some internal training for ABB, the company, a commercial for a dealership called Superior Auto, and then I did a promo for New Mexico PBS.
Gotcha.
And that was my week. And, a few of these days were... go ahead.
Thursday. There was no Friday work at all, or was that Friday?
No, that was Friday.
Okay, that was
yeah,
Friday.
That was Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
And on the slower days, we actually, with this Black Friday sale coming up, there was a lot of work to do and associated with that. So it worked out really well. So I was still able to, I had to record some videos and write some emails, and there's always some administrative things. So I'm always using that downtime. I'm not like napping or anything. There's always something to be done.
Not napping, but drinking coffee, yes.
Drinking coffee, yes, which makes napping impossible.
Okay, so that our discussion of union being sort of a more global concept and question that we covered this week on this particular broadcast podcast. Anything else of interest or note for the people who are listening or watching?
No, the only thing I would mention was, and it was a good week, it wasn't a bad week, but there is a bit of ebb and flow, and you have to account for that. We're going into the holidays, and it's not a big surprise that I didn't do as well as I would have liked to going into Thanksgiving week. So that's what, if you have a nice base of work and we'll talk about my clients, my base. If you've got that in place, you don't have to worry about slower weeks because you know it's going to bounce back. Otherwise, you know, if you haven't built a strong base, then yeah, you got to worry. But if you don't, I don't sweat it because I know it'll bounce back.
Well, there you have it. The week review with Bill DeWeese. Bill, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Fred.